Excuse me. Turn with me to Exodus, yes, chapter 3. I want to teach from a subject that's dear to my heart. I just don't go any, many, mighty more. I don't go back and just take stuff and just preach something to fill in the date to get by. No. I'm always, God, what are you saying? What is a covering word? What is the word for this season in people's lives? And I go by what the Spirit of God places in me. And I'm going to teach this message that I think is prophetic and timely. It's called Keep the Fire Burning. Keep the Fire Burning. And I'm going to use as a subtopic this morning, how to avoid burnout. You know, a lot of people started on fire when they first got saved. Now, not even in the church. I've seen people invite other people to church. They join, become good members. I said, who told you about the church? They say, that was so-and-so. They've been in the left church a month ago because they burned out. Now, burnout can be called for a lot of things. We just want to avoid it. You know, some people, because of trials and tests, they just get tired of battle fatigue. It's just always something with their family, job, children. We get tired of one thing after another. My God, I just came through this battle with my kids. Now my marriage is in trouble. Now they're acting crazy. Just came through that battle, and now on the job, they, you know, and they just burn out. Then they don't go to the Word to replenish themselves. That's the truly, I mean, plain and simple, you didn't refuel. You ever had a car and it was on, the light came on toward empty? That means it's time to go refuel. And your fear level gets high because your gas level is low. You wasn't even thinking about it. And our spirit man must be fed God's word. Jesus said, my words are spirit, they are life. And every time, you can't store faith. It takes faith to drive your car. It takes faith to go to work. It takes faith to bleed for your children. It takes faith to stand for your finances. And so if you're not replenishing your spirit with the word of God being fed, no more than your natural man, if you stop eating, fasting, you're going to physically get weak. Your spirit man must be fed God's word. So I want to talk about, though, how to keep the fire burning, okay? Let's look at Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to use Moses here. And let's look at verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led forth the flock to the backside of the mountains or the desert. And there came unto the mountain of God, even unto Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a burning appeared to him until the flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, okay, so that's important. The bush got his attention. He'll show you why. He said, and he looked. See, God wanted to get our attention. And behold, the bush burned with the fire, but the bush was not consumed. Now, let me explain something to you. There have been many, this is the desert, man. There are many bramble bushes that are caught on fire, and they just fizzle out. Because it will be hot out there. It's just like how we have out in California, we have high fire alerts and there'll be little brush fires here and there. That was common in the desert. But what was uncommon is that this bush was not being consumed. And it got his attention. Why is this thing still burning? And he said, he looked at it, the bush burned but was not consumed. So Moses said, I will now turn aside. God got his attention. You know God want to get our attention? And sometimes you have to set things on fire to get our attention. When I was a little boy, you know what? Everybody be cool. But when the fire truck, well, y'all like me? Everybody in the neighborhood would run behind to see what's the cause. Man, it was like fire. And stand there, watch it burn. God wants to get our attention. He can use fire. Don't take a fire. Right? What did he say in the book of Proverbs? My son, attend unto my word. Give attention to my word. That's what y'all guys have done today. Everyone in the balcony, everyone here, you're giving your word. You recognize. Why? You expect God to speak, and that's what he'll do. You can't speak to people, don't even want to talk to people when they don't have your attention. Come on, you can be talking to people in their body language. Be all day. I'm on eye contact with them talking to you. I don't want you down under the car working talking about I hear you. Now get up. I'm going to see you. Huh? God wants your attention. He wants to give you face-to-face eye contact in the Word. That's why we come to church. Amen? Because we want to hear what thus said. And notice what happened. The Bible says here, he said, I now will turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is burning but won't burn up. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside, watch this, to see, God called. See, God began to speak. A lot of times we're so busy in the mundane, you know, the laborious patterns that we have. Go to work, come on, check your email, eat some food, go to sleep. Go to work, come on, check email, eat the food, go to sleep. Sometimes we just, and God want to interrupt that. And sometimes, I ain't saying God does it, he'll use it. There's crisis in your life. That's what crisis gets your attention. All of a sudden, someone gets sick. All of a sudden, there's a car. There's something that demands faith. All of a sudden, there's an unexpected bill. You know, it gets your attention. Fire sometimes get our attention because we get in patterns and we don't hear the voice of God because we get comfortable. God is trying to define who he is to this man. And watch this, not just for Moses' sake, because many times God getting your attention depends on someone else's deliverance. He'll talk to you not just about you. He'll talk to you about your kids. He'll talk to you about your job. He'll talk to you about your finances. But until he turned aside, be still and know that I'm God. Sometimes we just get too busy. Just in the mundane routine of life. Go to the mall, do this, go to the shop, pick up clothes, you know, play soccer mom. And ain't nothing wrong with that. But you got to turn aside. Notice God didn't stop him. Moses stopped. And when he did, God began to speak. Watch this. See, fire got his attention. And the fire kept burning. Huh? It wasn't being consumed. That's what God wants. He wants the fire. God, let me so much. Let me just say it while I hear it. Do you know fire gives light? In the Western and olden days, they had lanterns. They didn't have electricity. We got lights in here. They have posts out there. Go. They ain't have nothing about no email and download. They ain't have nothing. They had lanterns. And it was fire lanterns. And that fire would give light. You're the light of the world. But what God is saying, I want you to, I'll make the statement, man. I want you to don't burn out. A lot of lights have gone out and become dim in the land. And that's why I'm calling this how to avoid burnout. And we keep reading here. You'll see it. And God called and said, Moses, look, God began to speak in the midst of the bush. And he said, Moses, he started talking out of the bush. And he said, here I am. He said, draw near and put off thy shoes, for off thy feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Anytime God begins to speak and define your life, that's what holy ground. Holy ground don't necessarily mean here. Holy ground can be in your kitchen. Holy ground for me was in my sister Bertha's little room after I got turned my life to the Lord and told mama I was going to live right and got off drugs. I came home and I was in that little room and I heard God begin to speak because I got still. I quit running. God began to define what he really, my purpose, what he really wanted me to do. And that's what he's doing with Moses. He got still. He called to Moses out of the burning bush. And he says in verse 6, he began to define, moreover, who he was. I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face as he was afraid to look upon God. Now, we know how the rest of this story go. He began to define, go tell Pharaoh. See, we want to know the purpose of God, but you got to get still. You got to get still. Why am I here? What is my true purpose? And it's not always these big things about ministry. God won't talk to you about your kids. He won't talk to you about he won't talk to you about your finances, how to get out of debt. He won't talk to you. But if you're so busy doing other things, God will not arrest you, stop you. Light. It took fire, just like how he used light to define and get Paul's attention when he was on his way to the mountain. He was sawed in. And God all the time, this was supposed to be a great apostle. It took light, fire, blinded him. Who am I? He got to say, I'm Jesus. And all of a sudden, he began to define, what would you have me do, God? He says, my God, it'll be, go down to a street called Straight. And his whole ministry, the whole two-thirds of the New Testament, because a man took time. A long time, we're running, trying to get things accomplished and done. If we'll get still, God can tell you in 10 minutes how to get it out. 10 minutes how to deal with the relationship. 10 minutes how to deal with that job situation. But he will not interrupt your world if you don't turn aside. Moses said, my God, this mush. Fire got his attention. And I'm going to go, and let me just move right into this. Fire then gives light. And anything that produces light must endure burning. What you mean? What you mean, Pastor? Have fuel? Y'all see those lights up there? Those lights just don't come on because we wish they came on. They're connected to something. To a switch. And that electricity is going out to a pole and it's being monitored by the city of High Point. Some of you, it's gas. Some of you, it could be the sunlight. And you know how they put those reflectors on there and you use the power of the sun to. But whatever gives light must endure burning. In other words, it must continue to burn. And we're the light of the world. We're talking about Holy Ghost fire. And God don't want you to burn out. God don't want you to give up. Burn out because you're in a trial and test. Burn out. You must endure burning. Notice the bush burned, but it wasn't consumed. Why? God was in it. He's an all-consuming fire. He gives light. And when we first get saved, we tell everyone, we're the light of the world. But then our light begins to get dim because persecution comes, bills come, trials come, and we burn out. The light goes out. And we need everyone light shining. We need everyone on fire, quote, so to speak, for God. Literally. Because you start a fire, people come watch it burn. That's why a lot of folks don't come to church more. Ain't no fire. Ain't nobody getting saved. Ain't nobody's got a bunch of religious clubs. I'm just talking about where I was going to church. And they had all of these reports. Missionary circle number 5. We have sisters who come and we raised $42.94. Thank you for your report. Missionary circle number 6. Our willing to help club, we raised $94.32. And I'm sitting there on drugs. My mom and Brittany, I'm like, I need help. I don't care how much missionary circle number 6 raised. I'm about to die and go to hell. I'm not sure. Why? No light. I was looking for help. We're the light of the earth. Huh? Come on. Gross darkness have covered the earth. Isaiah chapter 60. Come on, arise, shine, for your light is come. The fire of God. Look, light, fire, and glory is the same thing. The glory of God came on the camp, and they went before the children of Israel as what? A pillar of fire by night, and it gave them light. And you're the light. God don't want you burning out. Arise, shine, for your light is come. And the glory, see, light, glory, is risen up on you, fire. Praise God. Why? Gross darkness is covered. There are people trying to, how do you get all these drugs? I know, man. I was looking for light. I was looking for answers. And many times people come to church and they think they found God, but they found religion. And so they think God, they quit God to a bunch of clubs and this. I'm not knocking all that. But if you don't give the word, well, let me go and get right to my point because we're going to find out what the fuel is. The fuel is not a club. The fuel is not ham rafflings and baby contests. I ain't trying to be funny. All this stuff, they were nasty. All these clubs you can do and all this. But nobody was getting born again. No one was getting delivered. And so if you're going to keep them burn out, you got to have fuel, right? If you're going to keep them running out of gas, you got to go back to Exxon, BP. Why? Fuel. Anything that brings light, power, must endure burning. Come on. Now, sometimes a light bulb burn out. They have to be replaced. But we're talking about the fire of God. We're talking about the bush that burned that would not go out. And God began to speak out of this bush. Look at Jeremiah 23:29. I'll just get right to the point. What is the fuel? Why do we come to church? Is not my word like fire? Oh, God was in the fire. God began to speak. Fire gives light. Is not my word like fire that consumes all that cannot endure the test? We're going to talk about fire this morning because fire reveals what is real. We find out if that diamond is real when it's put under the fire. We're going to find out if it's a diamond or a dimel, because that dimel is going to make. We're going to find out if that's real gold or if that layer gold. Huh? And the cheaper the product, the higher the gloss. Have you noticed that? We've been like, ooh, look at that thing shine. Yeah, but it's in a bubble gum machine. See, fire, we're going to talk about it. Even who's real around you. You don't know your real friend until you go through the fire. And folks that can go with you when you got sick, go with you when you lost your job, stay with you when it was down and out, help you, praise God, cut your grass for you, pray for you, amen. Yet when you find out your real friend, when fire, because fire reveals what's real and what's not. It's a testing, it's a purification. And he said, my word is not like fire, says the Lord. It's like a hammer that break in pieces the rock of the most stubborn resistance. When you in fire, things in your life is stress and anxiety and fear and unforgiveness stuff, that's impurities. Fire will help break that stuff loose if you're under the fire. But what most people want to do, a ministry like this, where the word is going forth, the fuel is going forth, it's going to either draw you or drive you. And a lot of people can't take it. They say it's too hot in here, too much truth. I'm going somewhere else where they just hoop and holler. I ain't got to do nothing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The word has the power to break and deliver and separate you from drugs and alcohol, stuff, stubborn resistance. Stuff, mountains that seem like they can't move. The mountain of death. Stay with the word and that'll leave you. Stay with the word and that sickness and disease cannot stand your body. Leukemia, cancer, lupus, that stuff. Stay with the word. Hallelujah. The word is healing and medicine to your flesh. It's like fire. It'll build you up, but it'll burn off all the impurities. So, come on, somebody. Stuff God don't have it, but you got it. It's a purifier. Gold is purified in fire. Silver is purified. The fire is not there to destroy it. It's the matter of fact, it's to bring forth 100% gold. That's why it's melted. And then you put zinc in there. And then all the impurities rise to the top of the scrape. Also, when that silver is refined, it's 100%. God is after the gold in your life. Anybody that's in the Olympics 2024 is not going over to Paris to win a bronze medal. They're not after a silver, they're after the gold. God wants the gold in your life. Pray, and he's using fire. He used the word to refine you, to build you up. Come on, somebody. And anytime you're going for the gold, that means there's got to be restrictions on your diet. There's got to be restrictions on who you with and where you go. Why? Because I'm after the goal. I just can't run and eat anything and run with everybody. There's restrictions in my life because next year I'm running the 100 meters. I'm going for the goal. I want to be known as the fastest man in the world, the fastest woman in the world. But it takes fire to break things off of your life. God is trying to make you what you ought to be. And it takes the word. The word will break stuff off of your life that's been holding you back. The word will separate you from relationships that are poisoning you. And there's a revival of fire coming back to the church. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But there's coming one, mighty, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. So the first step to avoid burnout is go refuel on the word of God. That's what keeps the fire burning. Keeps you excited. Keeps you wanting to come to church. Kids, you want to read your Bible. Praise God. Why? Because, you know, nobody don't want to go to anything dead. You leave it alone. Matter of fact, you can almost tell when something is dead because it starts stinking. It's like, man, I don't know what. Something must have died. A skunk, a rat, something is in this, man. Did you smell that? And people just ain't drawing the stuff that stink. I ain't trying to be funny, but it's the truth. I've gone in houses where I wouldn't sit down. It just wasn't fresh. It smelled wet and dampy and like the food was mixed and stuff was mixed. And I'm like, I was holding my breath. Like, do you want to come in? Oh, this is good. Just bring it to, you can bring it to the door. Y'all laughing because y'all been to the same house. Have a seat. No, thank you. God is bringing fire back to the church. He wants to get our attention again. He wants to keep your fire burning. That's what the fire, it wasn't the fire. It wasn't being consumed. It kept burning. It didn't burn out. God don't want you to burn out. So the first thing is go to the Word of God. Daily, refuel your spirit on the Word of God. Come to church, hear me preach, get the CDs, get, because that's the fire. That's what keeps the fire ignited in your life. In Luke 24, verse 32 and 34, you remember after Jesus' resurrection? The Bible says he appeared and he was talking to them. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us? Why is it that some people preach and revelation hit your spirit and other people get up and talk all day and like, what? No anointing. They're trying to preach something that's not in their heart in abundance. Jesus is the Word. And when he would talk, he said, did not our heart, why? While he talked, that fire stayed lit. While I heard the preaching man something, God spoke to him in that service. And he walked us by the way. While he opened to us the boom. That's why Pastor did put it on the board, put all the numbers. I do all of that. I could just preach this, but I get in advance and I call me or whoever taking my note. I had to write it down. I'd go over the notes because I know that if I take on paper and put down the anointing on paper, it's going to have the letter kill it, but the rhema will bring life, the scripture. When all of a sudden it's open up, oh, this is how I'm going to be healed. I'm going to live and not die. While Pastor was teaching, something started burning in me. When Pastor gave that word, I don't know about nobody else. My days of debt are over. I got a revelation. God is Jehovah. He's my provider, Jehovah. Come on, while the scriptures are being opened and just can't anybody do that. It produces fire. They said our hearts were burning. Why? In order to put out fire, you got to have it in you. What you think has kept your pastor going 40, almost 50 years now? I go back to the Word. Spend time in the scripture. The church has gotten this, and we've seen this new age church and all that. I don't care what nobody else is doing. I'm going to stay with what has worked. I'm going to stay with what got me healed, got my. You need to dance with the one that bought you. Quit trying to become like the world and do all this and dress like that and do that and all that smoke. And I know, man, you know, well, you need smoke to come up while I'm preaching. You know, that's what they do at the club. Yeah, you need, that's your problem. You ain't at the club. And how you know what they do at the club, by the way? I ain't even going there. See, your fire, see, when you lose authentic fire, you go looking for substitutes. The club, drugs, and those are just temporary things that burn out. Got high, but you had to wake up. Got drunk, but you had to get. Went through the sex, but it's over with now. Now you're worried about disease. All of these things, temporary things. But only God can fulfill. Come on, that woman that was at the well had five men and was shackled when Jesus said that you had five and the one you live with ain't yours. And she was looking for, she was thirsty, but she was looking for love in all the wrong places. And Jesus began to tell her everything about her life and talk to him. Fire got her. She said, come see a man That's what you came out there looking for. I done found a man. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Who told me everything. Whew, Lord, have mercy. There's no substitute for authentic Holy Ghost fire. You can try drugs. I tried all that stuff. That's why your pastor's up here preaching now. See, there wasn't nothing left for me. I burned out early. I mean, I hit it hard. When I was on drugs, it didn't, you know, some people, no. I went after. I flew to other planets. I would get high like, if we gonna do it, let's do it. I mean, whatever, I was extreme. I was like the solitude. If we gonna do it, let's do it. If we gonna party, let's party. Let's bring the house down. Let's turn something up. And then you wake up the next day, I burn out. And that's insanity, doing the same thing, expecting different. And I got at the, I'm like, this ain't hitting it no more. I need something that lasts. I need a bush that burn but won't burn out. I'm on the wrong field. I need to get off of slit small. Look, I need to get off the bull, and I need to get some of this Holy Ghost. You know, after all, on the day of Pentecost, they say these men are not drunk. They thought it was new wine. I needed to change wine. I was on the wrong drink, praise God. You know, I was trying Coors Light and Bud Light, and all the time I needed Holy Ghost Light. Everyone shout fire. Fire's coming back to the church. We need a revival. God want to get you to Moses said, let me stop. You need to stop for a minute. God wants to speak. Oh, my faith. God will use fire to get our attention. Then he'll speak. Notice he ain't say nothing to Moses till he stopped. You can't hear God till you do what you do. Come, sit. I'm listening for God. Long as you run in and rip, you ain't hear nothing. Then you got to quiet your mind, all the cares and bills and problems, and say, man, I need to hear what God is saying. I will turn aside. So God will use fire to get our attention. What happened? Moses said, my God, the bush is mine, but it's not being consumed. Sometimes it takes crisis. Sometimes it takes something to hit your mind, to wake you up. Man, this thing is for real. Sometimes it could be a sickness and disease. Sometimes it could be a close accident where someone died and you realize, wait a minute. Now, God ain't bringing all that, but he'll use it to get your attention. And what happened? He began to reveal himself. Moreover, he began to speak. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And you know he began to define his purpose. Now you go and stand before Pharaoh. And when you go, tell him that I am have sent thee. I am that I am. I am Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am Jehovah, the Lord your peace. I am all whatever you need me to be. But people don't get quiet. And God will know, but he used fire and then he revealed him. So look at 1 Kings 19. And this is when Elijah was running from Ahab. Now he just destroyed 450 prophets of Baal. He was riding high. You know how it is when we're in the spirit. I'll serve God. For God I live, for God I die. Well, Jezebel said, tomorrow this time, you're going to be dead. And instead of standing, he took off and got up. He got in a pity party. Now watch this. God says, now look at the instructions. And he said, go forth and stand upon what? The mountain, not a cave. Caves are for bats. Caves are for people in fear. Caves are for folks that's depressed. Caves are for folks that want to be in darkness. Caves are for vampires. And stand what? Before the mount of the Lord. And behold, watch this. The Lord passed by. It was a great wind. Everyone say wind. And rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. Keep going. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord wasn't in it. But God wasn't in it. Watch this. Keep going. But after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord wasn't in the fire. But after the fire, a still small voice. We just read earth, wind, and fire. You're a shining star, no matter who you are. Shining right to be what you can really be. One of my favorite groups. Earth, wind, and fire. I didn't say it. But God didn't. But after the fire, what was he wanting? He wanted his attention. See, a long time there's car wrecks and shootings. God didn't do all that. He ain't in it. But he'll use it. Well, you lay it up now. You can't chase a woman because you got caskets all around you. So you got to think, Lord, if you could. So he said, I can talk to you now because you can't move. But he wasn't in a lot of stuff. But he will use fire. Y'all get the wisdom of what I'm saying? God uses his word to speak. He don't use accidents and stuff like that. But once he said, and after, now remember, he told him to stand upon a still small voice. Watch this. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in a mantle and went out and stood in the entering end of a cave. Now, what are you doing in a cave when God said, go stand upon what? See, the devil want to put you back in a cave. He'll use people who want to silence you. He want to put you in darkness. Are you listening to me? But he said, what are you doing here? And why? And this a message all by itself. And behold, there came a voice. God said, what are you doing here? Some of you are out of place. God know where you're supposed to be, but until he gets your attention, he know what church you're supposed to be on. He know what job you're supposed to be on. He know your relationships you should have. But he couldn't hear it until he got his attention. Pastor doing some good teaching here this morning. We don't come to church just to hoop and shout. We come to church to hear the voice of God for the wisdom of God is trying to get you to where you need to be. He know how to get you out of debt. Everyone shout fire. So God will use fire. He'll use even try to get your, he didn't bring it. He wasn't in the car wreck. He wasn't in the gun, the drive-by shooting. But boy, you say, oh my God, I know, we used to think it was God. The Lord almost got, listen, if God wanted to kill you, he's perfect. He ain't gonna miss. God wasn't in that stuff. That was religion. The thief came to kill, steal, and to destroy. Jesus is trying to bring you life and give it to you more abundantly. Let no man say when he's tempted. James chapter 1, I've been tempted with God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man with evil. Behold, do not err, my brethren. Every good and every perfect gift comes from above. That's error when you begin to blame God. But God will use it to get your attention. That's somebody here this morning. God got your attention. You wonder, why I'm in this storm? Why in this earthquake? God is trying, he's using me to speak to you. There's a word he's trying to bring through me to speak to you to get you exactly where you need to be. But you had to make the first decision to come and turn aside this week and say, I need to come sit in that balcony. I need to see, it ain't really me. It's God through me that's talking. It's the Holy Ghost through me. He knows where you're supposed to be. That's why it's so important to come to church. That's why the devil wanted to shut the church down just through live streaming. And he wanted to get us from fellowshipping with one with another. Live streaming is good, but it ain't nothing like when you're under the presence of the anointing. And while he spoke, did not our heart burn? My God, I ain't talking about to a television screen. I'm talking about in that service. But it takes time with God in order to teach and preach. See, people think this stuff easy. You don't realize how much of a consecration it takes my life just to teach and talk. This is a lifestyle. Amen. Controlling your thoughts and your minds. Some preachers just have pulpit anointing. They got all the theatrics. They know how to get everybody right up. Everybody ain't said nothing. Mama can cook some pinto beef. And the daddy know how to make some collard greens. And auntie can make a macaroni and cheese. Everybody, what? What? There are people jumping, they ain't said nothing. When I was in school, they said, an empty barrel would make the most noise. If you got something to say, something really to people, you ain't gonna do all that. People know revelation when they hear it. People know if you've been in the presence of God too. We want the anointing, but we don't want to pay the price. Someone said, Pastor, can you lay hands on me? And I and transfer your anointing to you? Yeah. But it's going to be a long night. It's going to be a 40-year night. You can't get it with just laying hands. You got to go through the fire, impurities, and things to burn out of your life. Give God some praise. Look at Acts. Chapter 2. Am I helping anybody? Yeah. You hearing what God's saying to you? Because I believe right now, even I speak, God, oh yeah, I know what this is about. Come on. Because you know, God does not give you anything new. He'll take you back to the last thing he told you to do. You wait for all the new word, and God said, no, you ain't tithing. I told you start tithing 2 months ago. And you talking about show me an angel. For what? Go back. Okay, let me. What did I say? Acts 2. So we're talking about keep the fire burning. Don't burn out. Look at Acts 2. I want to take you through to what happened on the day of Pentecost, not from a religious standpoint, but from a word of God standpoint. Acts 2, verse 1 through 5. And when the day of Pentecost, now let me explain to you what the day of Pentecost was. God, Jesus had been raised from the dead. The last thing he says, I'm going to go and back to my Father and your Father I send, but you go and to Jerusalem to you be endued with power on high. He had promised, oh, and that's what that they was tiring for. They was waiting for what Jesus promised. But once it came, you don't have to tarry anymore. I just thought I'd teach about the Holy Ghost because there are some people think you could come to the altar and tarry. And I remember this there again when I didn't know the word. I was young, hungry. Before I read my Bible, I was tarrying at the altar, waiting on something to hit me. And I didn't even know what it was supposed to be. And they said, they was hit by the Jesus. Some of you laughing because they did you same way. And my throat started getting dry. I'm like, nah, I ain't that man. I can't do this. No, just keep on. You got to tarry. You got to tarry, boy. Don't come on. Break through. Come on. My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's why I'm in this pulpit. So they tarried for his ministry to come into the earth. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house. God wants to fill the whole house, this house and your house at home. What's on you, he wanted to get on your children, on the husband. He wants to fill your house with glory. And you're the conductor. You're the ignition switch. When the fire get in you, you take it home. And say, I ain't let none of these heathens put my light out. Some of you go out to go home to some rough situation. But I ain't letting them put my light out. I'm going to keep the fire burning. And it appeared unto them what? Cloven tongues like as of fire. It sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, watch this, and begin to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave us. The Holy Ghost don't talk in tongues. You do. He give you the utterance. They were like, I'm waiting on something to take me over. That's why I was about to burn out. I waiting on the Holy Ghost. I thought something just take me over because you know how it is, how people that extreme talk. Man, it hits you in the feet. And it ran all through my head. Oh, and I'm waiting on that. And none of that wasn't happening. I had one lady tell me up here, I'm going high, saying Gigi, and the other one was going low, shooting lightning bolts in my feet, waiting on me to, they're like, your feet ain't moving. I'm like, what? And I'm waiting on something to happen. Whew. I'm so glad I read my Bible now. Wow. Woo! Working. Worked at the altar. They said, you didn't quite get them all. You got to come back tomorrow night. You know why they wanted me to come back? I was paying $20 a night. They had figured it out. The East Standard Revival, that's $100. Ain't nobody else getting money like that. I tell the truth too much, don't I? Y'all don't want to hear about all that. Anyway, some people too smart, too intellectual. Do you how to speak in tongues of the Holy Ghost? Is that the only? No. Power. You should see power. I actually had the Holy Ghost. Didn't know it. I had power. I had the power. But I was waiting on the tongue because I thought the Holy Ghost was going to do something to me, like another voice was going to come up in me and say, I am the Holy. That ain't going to happen. But I had to learn to yield myself to the Holy Ghost and begin to speak any other words other than English. Romans 8, 26 and 7. Likewise, we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. For he searches his heart, know what his mind and spirit. So when I begin to open up my Bible by faith, and quit worrying about what it was going to sound like, because I'm going to show you why, and quit letting the devil tell me, you just crazy, that's you. Of course it's me. Who else is going to be my brother? It's my tongue. And I didn't have to shake and quake because the people that did it. And I'm like, dog, they're going to have to go to chiropractic. So I ain't going to do all that. I'm like, that's the Holy Ghost is intelligent. It don't make you fall off the stage. And I saw people fall off the stage and returning, revealing their all that, and they were throwing past. Holy Ghost, that ain't the Holy Ghost. That's people. That's flesh. Holy Ghost ain't going to wrap you up in no cord and have you all tear up the drum system and cause you shouting and just, I couldn't help myself. Tear up a $10,000 system. That's emotionalism. I got to keep moving. They're filled with the Holy Ghost, and they begin to speak. You know, if you ain't received the tongue, you probably got the power. You want to speak, you got to do is open up your mouth and start. Jesus said in Luke 11, 13, if we didn't even know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more should Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask them? Father, I'm the Holy Ghost. Now give me my prayer language. I'm going to show you why, because you're talking to God. The devil don't want you talking. You build yourself up. Of course, if I was a devil, I would try to keep you weak too. I wouldn't want you edified and built up with tongues, dude. And by the way, I came out of the largest Baptist church in this city. So you can imagine what type of devil was in the BTU guy. But I made up my mind. I'm going to believe the Bible. See, at some point, you got to make up your mind. Either word of God is true. And so they begin to speak as the Spirit gave others. Watch this. And there was there dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from what? Every nation under heaven. God had every nation under heaven. Italians, Mexicans, Hispanics, Ethiopians, Germans. Come on. That's a purpose. Every tongue, every language happened to be in Jerusalem at that time when the Holy Ghost came. Under every nation, under heaven. And they said to themselves, you know, they heard every man speaking all language. So I'm trying to show you the Holy Ghost for any and everybody. It ain't for the black, white, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic. And so anybody who will, whosoever will. Huh? And they spoke as the Spirit gave them. All right, now look at this trend amplified. I'm gonna help you out. God help me. Ooh, help me move, God. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all assembled together in one place in one accord. Okay? And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, like a rushing, violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Keep going. And it appeared unto them cloven tongues, resembling fire. It looked like fire, because God came in there. Who y'all think the Holy Ghost is? What Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? As God has said, I will walk in them and dwell in them. God used to dwell in a man-made temple in the Old Testament. He dwelled in the holies of holies, where the Shekinah of glory of God was, and the candlestick, and the angels, and the serpents, and the golden rod of Aaron that budded, and the ark of the covenant. But after Jesus died, the veil of the temple was split in two. God moved out of a man-made temple and said, I'm about to get into a new home. I'm about to get in you, but you need to go sit and wait until I show up on the day of Pentecost. Fire, God himself, was separated. It looked like, now remember, let's just use everybody here. Say a fire coming, each one of them had a flame. And it wasn't no little big light either. It was the glory of God. It was God himself saying, I'm getting back in man. Hallelujah. You're going to become the temple. I'm going to walk in you. I'm going to use your hands. I'm going to use your eyes. I've been waiting on this. But because salvation had been paid, I couldn't do this. But now that Jesus has paid the price, and it was distributed, and it settled on each of them. Each of them. Everybody here, God wants a few. He wants, something came on. And it looked like fire. It was fire. It was the fire of God. It was God himself. I'll show you. Keep going. And they were all filled, diffused through their souls with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, different foreign languages, tongue, as the Spirit kept giving them clear, loud expressions, each one tongue in its own appropriate words. And now there was residing in Jerusalem, devout, God-fearing men, from every country under heaven. So everybody, this is for everybody. And so what happened? Every language that was represented on the planet was there. I ain't got time to give y'all the whole gist of it. I wouldn't mind I did. But you remember in Genesis 11, 1 and 6, what he said? Because the people were one, nothing would be restrained for them. But they had the wrong motive. They was building a temple called Baal. It was a zodiac on that thing. And so what God do to destroy? He confused the languages. And there was confusion all the way. Because man's heart, he said, their thoughts was only evil continually. But after Jesus paid the price, put it back up, and he was ready, God had every man, every language there at one time. And they begin to speak. When you talk in tongues, you can be speaking one word of every. That ain't for you to understand. You're talking to God. See, you don't understand German. But if I go, and that's a German, they go, oh, okay. You think God is on, you think God only uses English? How do we get Scandinavians saved? How do we get Kenyans saved? Ethiopians saved? In their language. And when you're talking in tongues and quit trying to be so smart and just yield yourself and quit worrying about what you say, you can be talking to God, building yourself up, and God understands every word because he's the one that gave him the language. He put, in other words, he put communication back into the body of Christ. Notice they was divided and could not understand one another in the book of Genesis. They were confused, but now all of a sudden they was in one place and one accord. And power hit. And fire came on each of them. Fire. God himself sat on. Oh, God help me. Brown, come here for a minute. Whew. Hurry up. Hurry up. Go pull that chair over there and bring it up right here. Bring it right here. Ah, shilam on crafakesh. Hurry up. Turn it around this way. Sit down in it. The Bible says fire. Fire sat on them. God himself. Now notice he was diffused. That means he went on the inside like a blood transfusion. Put that back. So God came in the house and said, only you can see me. If I went in brown, we're not two, we became one. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, God is in you. God says, I walk in that. I wanted y'all to see that. Thank you. Put that back over there. Now, Because I'm getting ready to make a statement. So then God himself, who is fire, did what? Sat on each of them, and he filled what? The whole house. God wants everybody in the house filled, saved, delivered. When he brought the children of Israel out of bondage, there was not one sick, weak, or broke person among them. He brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not one weak. He wants to affect the whole house. Now, how do you do that? He brings fire back to the church. He starts with you, and you take that fire back in your house. And that's why I say you got to keep the fire burning, because there are going to be people, y'all going on there, they old dead. No, don't let people, I'm going, and you need to, you heathen self. That's your problem. Don't let people dampen your fire, because that's what fire does. They either draw you or drive you. There are people looking for fire. God said on them, you say, how you doing? Do you know what Ezekiel said when he seen God? And it's, look what Ezekiel said about God. How know God is fire? What happened? Ezekiel 1, verse 26, 27. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. We're talking about God on a stone. The appearance of a sapphire stone. And seated in the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man. And what had the appearance from his waist up, I saw lustre as glowing, metal appearance of fire enclosed round about within it. And from the appearance of waist down, waist up, waist down, the whole body, I saw it with the appearance of fire, and they with brightness of a halo around them, the glory. That's God. God. You say, well, can you give me another scripture on that? Thank you. Hebrews. For our God indeed is a consuming fire. So when fire showed, that was God. That wasn't just something he's shaking. God sat on each of them. God went in them. Power went in them. Anointing went in them. God says, I will dwell in you. What? No, you're not. Your body now is a temple of the Holy. Fire is in you. Healing is in you. Deliverance is in you. If God is going to go to the hospital, you got to go. Quit trying to send God on evangelistic missions. Lord, we want you to go to the hospital. Ha, yeah, touch them, heal those that are sick. And when you leave there, Lord, we want you to go to the mental institution. Touch their mind. We know you are a heart fixer and a mind regulator. And when you leave there, Lord, go to Africa and feed the hungry children. And when you leave there, Lord, we want you to go down to the jailhouse. Talk to him, Lord. Change that. And when you leave that life, we want you to stop by here if you don't stay long. And guess what? He ain't going nowhere. When you go to the hospital, he'll go. When you go to the prison, he'll go. When you go to African priests like I've done, he'll go. He uses, we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. So what we're going to have to do, if you want healing and deliverance, fire to be on fire, you're going to have to get up off your blessed assurance, and you're going to have to do something. I've gone into some dark places. I've preached every place you can think of because I want God to be there. He dwells in me now. We're the body of Christ. The head sat down, now the body. With the hand, the feet extended. We take that fire with us wherever we go. Let me move on. I got to move. So, you say, how you burn out? Get in an atmosphere of worship that's conducive to fire. How you going to get warm in a cold church? I mean, this ain't rocket science. You gonna, everybody dead. They got mad at me because I would start shouting and praising God. When I just come out the street drunk, I thought everybody did that. I was getting the choir members filled with the Holy Ghost. They were talking in tongues. They got mad at me. Said, that's something to be to you, God. You're going against the rules of the church. They called my mom and said, he need to sit down because he's disturbing the service. Because what would happen when fire get on me, I would jump off the pulpit. See, they made a mistake and made me a minister, even though they didn't believe in me. ain't believe nothing I preach. Because the first message I preached was authority over the devil. They didn't even believe it was the devil. But anyway, I would jump off the pulpit, and it was, I don't know if y'all had a church where it used to be a table that said, do this in remembrance of me. And there were two men that sat there, and those two men would be asleep. And when I would go over their head, it scared them. And they like, you need to quit doing that. I mean, so how are you going to get warm in a cold church? So what I was having, I was trying to ignite that church, and they kept getting mad at me. So I had to leave and find an atmosphere that was conducive to people who wanted help and healing and anointing and power. And the sad part is I had to go into the world to find it. Because the drug addicts, all of them were happy to see me. I go back into the pool hall, Diggs, my man, yo, man. Man, I heard about whatever. And I don't get there. Listen, they respected me more than the church. You know, the church would drive by and see me out there on the street and say, yes, well, he done backslid. Because I was doing what the Bible says, go into the world. They was hide out in church playing religion. Now, I ain't saying that put down nobody. I'm just trying to show you that you got to be hungry for fire, and it's going to, you got to pay a price for it. So you got to get in the atmosphere because fire is contagious. Look at Exodus 34. Look at 28. What about Shiva? Through 30. He got in the presence of God. You get around people in the presence of God, it's what's on them will get on you. Huh? He went up there, and Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, and he ate no bread, no drink water, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the commandment, the Ten Commandments, the words of the covenant. And when Moses came down from the sea, your presence. Who are you in the presence of? What's your atmosphere? With the two tables of testimony in his hand, he did not know. They didn't know that his skin on his son happened to him, was shown. And it looked like beams. What? Everyone shout, fire! His face was on fire with the glory of God. Because he had been an atmosphere conducive. By reason of speaking, and Aaron and all the Israelites saw his skin something happen. It began to transform. His face was shown and they feared. They didn't. Who was this? See, when you get in fire to transform your life, people think they know you, don't even know. People who grew up with me, thought a little wrongly, they can't see the anointed man of God. Sometimes the people closest around you are the one who can't really see what you are. Jesus said, your greatest battle be that in your own house. It was his own brothers and sisters that said he's a lunatic now. His mama and brother wouldn't even go and listen to him preach. They said, your mother and brother without. See, long as he was preaching what they like. But when God began to transform him, they went them. When he went in there and turned that money over that table and made everybody mad, you don't mess with people, money. From that point on, his mama's brother, none of them, they thought he was a lunatic. And the word of God will turn you into another man. I'm not the same person I was. And I'm constantly changing, day by day, message by message. I'm trying to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And that's why I said, you got to get an atmosphere. Put up another scripture. Iron, then sharpened in iron, so so as a man is sharpened the countenance of his friend. What type of how people carry themselves? When you're sharp, it'll get on you. I like to believe that everyone that come here, when you're in my presence, I lift you up. I increase your vision. I challenge you. Something's happened. You go out with a different count. You might have came here with your head down, but you know what? There is hope for me. We can get out of that. I understand that. I can get my children saved. Why? Because you're in a conducive atmosphere to fire. You can't get warm in a cold church. Come on. In order to have a house that's warm, it's got to have a heat in it. That thing ain't got no heat. Are you listening to me? You need to find a place. You need to find people. You need to find a ministry somewhere where there's fire and say, I don't care what y'all say or what y'all think. I am committing to the fire, to the word. It's going to cost you something, though. You know why it's going to cost you something? Because some of you still worry about your reputation. Jesus is an old reputation. He didn't care what they thought about him. The Bible says he made himself no reputation. Longer you got a reputation, then you're going to have to keep it repaired. Because, you know, when I came from so-and-so, I was this over there. I was that over there. I did this. You trying to hold on to your reputation. And I came from the biggest church in this city. And I left my reputation there and went into the rest of them. Nobody seen me for years because God was doing something quiet in the dark in my life. I was busy helping people. I won't worry about what they thought. Oh, did he up down Washington Street with them drug addicts? Yeah, getting them saved. I didn't care what people thought. And God, that's how word of life started. Those people start getting saved, born again, eventually start coming to the house. They saw fire. And it went from there on that, and the rest is history. What I'm trying to say, you gotta forget about your little reputation. Now, I'm not talking about just going around trying to be abusive and let not your good be evil spoil. I ain't talking about stuff you doing wrong, so I don't care what they think. No, you was at the ABC store. We saw you, and you weren't learning your ABC. You there getting liquor. I saw you came out with the brown bag. Man, I ain't worried about it. No, I ain't talking about stuff like that now. But I am talking about when you obey God and he's doing, you ain't worried about an office and what people think about you and all this and all that. And that's why a lot of people died in that church because they was, I'm an officer. I'm a, no, fine. People will die because of a position. And instead of making transition. And just say, leave all that junk. I don't care nothing about being the chairperson or the third, all this. I ain't studying that mess. See, Jesus didn't care what you thought about him. Why? Because you're going to have opinions. You're going to be polarizing. He came into, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed he to come in the name of the Lord. Everybody was worshiping him. Before nightfall, the same people crucified. There are going to be people on both sides. I would have been out of ministry years ago. So you got to be tough. You got to be willing to do and understand. And so, anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out. Lord, help me, help me. Okay, so then let's close. 2 Timothy 1. We're talking about keep the fire burning. So you got to get it where you go, who you run with. I don't run with dead people. People I got to fight and prove myself to all the time. Somebody told me that they say, oh, well, just go. Get out of my face and don't get back in my face anymore. Because then you don't know who I am. People who know you. And they are not middle of the road people, passive people. They ain't going to let you get nothing out their mouth about a certain people. Matter of fact, when you start talking, they're going to flip their hairdresser back and say, hold it. Everybody in here, that's my man of God. That's why I got here. God. And that's a lie. We ain't got no money machine. And I go to that church. Instead of, I don't want to say that because of my reputation. Oh, nut back there. I always wind up using nut. Look at him back there. He said, all the way back. That's my buddy back there, man. That's the same guy. He called me. I tell you, 30 years ago, drugs, alcohol, the middle of the night, God said, got filled with the Holy Ghost, been with me ever since. I remember Nut calling me one day. Nut said, Pastor, I thought I'd just let you know. The kid just got saved. He ain't been saved long because, I ain't got this Holy Ghost thing all the way over like you. I'm working on some stuff. But before you read something in the paper, or hear something, I want you to get it from me first. Now, I was up here at McDonald's, and it was a certain so-and-so that kept talking about you, running you down. I told him to shut his mouth. And so his son said, that's my, he said, I don't care who he is, that's a lie. And said, I'll get ready to not, what? No, he had done it. He got in a little scuffle up there. And, police used to always be up this McDonald's right in front of him. And he said, I ain't going to, but I think he busted him in the mouth or did something. I told him, I told him, shut up. See, that ain't how you cast devils out of people, but that he hadn't been saved long. So he did the best he could. He tried to knock it out. Because you ain't going to talk about my pastor. And so he called me and said, just in case, police come out, something, they come, because I don't know what happened. I just knocked it off and left. I said, see, that's what I call loyalty. Because why? That anointing. That's where my healing is. That's where my deliverance. That's why my granddaughter is alive today. That was given up and had a heart transplant. Should have been dead and went through every type of surgery. That's why Journey is alive today, because I'm under the covering of the anointing, and what's on my pastor and my church flows to me. And I'm going to protect that anointing. And I ain't worried about my reputation with anybody thinks. Okay, why? He's keeping the fire burning. Nah, he ain't going around swinging no more. He didn't got the Holy Ghost all the way over. It came out of his fist. He got it. But I just thought that he done grown, so don't y'all be thinking nut crazy. They just call him nut as a nickname, but he is a nut. But you know, everybody need a nut in their family. Nut, keep you laughing. 2 Timothy, let me close. I got to close. So I won't leave him stuck back there. He's very mature. Walk in the spirit. He know you can't knock the devil out of nobody no more. But he tried it that day. Because they were talking about his past. 2 Timothy, let me close. Chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Don't burn out. Stay in the church. Stay in the word. Stay around the fire. Look at verse 5. For when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, was dwelt first in your grandmama Lois. And then thy mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded indeed. Notice association. Notice this. We talk about generational curses. There's a generational blessing. What got on Lois got on Eunice. And what got on Eunice got, praise God, on Timothy. And he said, this is in thee. Therefore, I put thee in remembrance. Stir up the gift of God that is in thee by the putting on of my hand. Now, we need this for an amplified so I can close to show you what I want to show you out of this. Look at the amplified. I'm calling to remembrance your sincere, unqualified faith, the leaning of your entire personality of God in Christ. Absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, his goodness. A faith that first lived permanently in the heart of your grandmama, Lois. And then your mama, she passed it down, and that anointing got on your mama, Eunice. And now I'm fully persuaded it's in you also. What's in it? The word faith. Watch this. That is why I would remind you to stir up, rekindle the ember, and fan the flames, and keep burning. That's my message. The gracious gift of God, the inner fire. The inner fire. There's a lot of people. You know when people start backsliding? When they lose the inner fire. Nothing motivating them anymore. Been so much on my job. Been so much on my family. Been through this much. They lose the fire. They get cold. That's why I'm calling this man. Keep the fire burning. He was saying. And notice he didn't say, Pastor, you got to stir yourself. You got to get stirred. You got to speak out loud. You got to preach to yourself. God has done too much for me. He didn't bring me out of Egypt to take me back. And I don't care who don't like it. If mama don't want to go, leave me alone. Daddy don't want to go, brother, sure. But I'm going to keep this fire burning. Hallelujah. I ain't letting nobody put out my fire. Not my neighbor, not my best friend. He said, you stir up the inner fire that is in you. It's talking about the fire of the Holy Ghost. By means of laying on my hands. With the elders at your ordinary. See, I'm going to show you something. He's talking about generational. Notice what got in Lois, his grandmama, all that. Who he was, got in him. I'm your spiritual father. And everything I've taught, well, you're not the Holy Ghost. He brings it to you. It's down in you. You just don't need it until he brings it to your memory. You need to stir up everything. You need to stir it up. See, some of y'all always wait. I can get you started. I can... take a fire and light, but you got to keep it burning. All I can do is light, ignite, but the fire's in you. You got to get in the word. You got to get in prayer. You got to get under the anointing. You got to get the CD. You got to stir yourself up and keep burning the fire. Said, ain't my job. I can't go home with y'all. I wouldn't mind go home with everybody and just keep on preaching. I can't do that. When you go out of here, it's going to be you, God, and the devil. And you're going to need some fire because the devil don't like to be around fire, even though he's going to be burned in the end. He's going to hell. He's going to be burned with fire, but he don't like it. He's the only guy that's trying to get you to go his own home and don't want to go himself because he's going to hell. So put up a statement because I got to hurry now. Keep the Holy Ghost in fire burning, stirred in you by praying in the Holy Ghost. That's why on the day of Pentecost, praying in the Holy Ghost. Build yourself up. Build yourself up. Keep it stirred. Who is that? That's God. Look at Jude 1, 20, 21. But build up who? Yourself. Stir yourself. How? By praying in the most holy faith. Why was faith in him? Why was word in him? He kept praying in the Holy Ghost. You edify yourself. You build yourself up. I pray in tongues. Yeah, and I ain't ashamed of it. I'm talking to God. Don't be looking at me like, how can you do that? I thought, no, easily. I can talk in English. I can pray for my sister in English. Father, bless Tripper in Jesus' name. Strengthen her with might by your spirit in her. Or I can pray for her in tongues, which is perfect prayer. What am I doing? I'm blessing her and building my own self up. And you notice I wasn't weakened and shaken and all that. That's religion. It's your prayer language. And how can I come in here week after week, Sunday after Sunday, year after year, month after month? And where does this energy coming from? I build myself. I don't wait on you. You might be down, but if you get around me, you're going to get hold to some fire. You're going to get built up. You might have came to this church depressed, but you ain't going to leave here. You hang around me long enough. Because fire is contagious. And then keep yourself in the Holy Ghost. Stay in love, because faith works by love. Quit worrying about other people that are haters. And keep yourself in the love of God. Put up another scripture. He that speaks in unknown tongue edifies, builds himself up. He prophesies to edify the church. You can stay edified. You're talking to God. You don't talk to God and be depressed. Oh, God, help me. See, why a lot of denominations fought tongues so hard? Because it's a supernatural prayer that go beyond your understanding. You don't understand your kids, your father, how, but the Holy Ghost do. And when you yield to him, you can pray things that are not even obvious to your own understanding. You can be praying in tongues and binding the devil on your job, and I can be building up everyone on this front row, building up Rashad, building up Sigmund, building up Betty, I don't know everything about you, but the Holy Ghost does. Hallelujah. And when I share that, man, I build myself up and pray for the whole church. And I can be binding accidents, pulling down strongholds. You don't believe that? Put up my kiddie scripture. I knew I'm going to need it. First Corinthians 14:2. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men. You're talking to God. How you going to talk to God and be depressed? Well, the Baptist said that's of the devil. The Methodist, yeah. Who did that? What, you going to believe the Baptist or the Bible? You're talking to God. You're building yourself up. You're stirring that fire. Not the man, but the God. For no one understands him or catches his meaning. Howbeit, the Holy Spirit, others fire. That's the Holy Spirit. Other secret truths, hidden things, not obviously your understanding. You can be standing next to someone with a gun, and you ain't out, but you can pray in the Holy Ghost stuff you don't even understand. About how to get your daughter out of that house shacking with some guru. Heal it, but the Holy Ghost know how. The Holy Ghost can get your son off drugs. Heal it, man. But you sitting there, now, if I didn't. No, there's times you pray with your understanding. There's times that stuff's not even obvious to your understanding. And I pray for this church. I pray in this. Where do you think these messages be coming from? In the presence of God, in his presence, it's fullness of joy, and it is right here. I play, and then what I hear, I come dump it on y'all guys. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. Not some stale bread from 2 weeks ago. Not something out of my memory. But the right now word for a right now season to somebody that's going through something right now. And God is trying to break it off of your life. But religion knows nothing about what I'm talking about. I'm not ashamed of the God. Paul was a member of the Sanhedrin court. A Hebrew of Hebrews. A scholar in Judaism. A scholar in the law. He would be equivalent to like Socrates and Aristotle. And yet Paul, the part said, I thank God I speak with tongues more than y'all. See, some reason we think tongues is unintelligent. I'm very intelligent. But I'm also smart enough to know the yield of God and stuff I can pray for and stuff that's not obvious to my own understanding. That's the Holy Ghost fire. I'm almost done. Oh, man, this happened every week. Whatever. So then you know what Jesus is doing? Jesus is igniting Holy Ghost fire in our lives to purge out impurities. I don't know if y'all know it. There's an onslaught of junk going on in church right now. I'll never preach it from the pulpit because I'm not here to put down other men. I'm here to build you up. I'll never use my television time to put anyone down and talk about politics and fight this and all that. That's your business. My job is to use every second to build you up. But judgment has begun in the house of God. And stuff that was in it, and it takes fire to purge it out. Matthew 3:11-12. Indeed, I'm baptized, John said, with water unto repentance. But there's coming one after me, Jesus, that's mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. How do we leave out the fire? What is the fire for? Keep reading. Whose fan is in his hand? Give me a fan. Give me a fan real quick. Is one up here? Who got a fan? First one got a fan. Bring it to me. Quick. Thank you. Fan. Thank you, Robert. Thank you. Who's? What do? You fan the fire. It's like an ember fire. You ever seen when the ember's in, you go, and what happened? You rekindle the fire. He's got his fan in his hand. What is he doing? Whose fan is in his hand? And he will purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garnish, and he'll burn up with shall done with unquenchable fire. The Holy Ghost will burn the hatred, the lust, the jealousy, the envy, the bondage, the stuff you sure. When you get under fire and stay in fire, it'll burn up the things that's holding you back. It separates. He talking about the wheat from the chaff. That's how they separated. You would throw up the wheat in the tares, and the tares didn't have any weight. And so they'll just blow away. And so what happened, when the wind will come, when the fire will come, they just throw it up and out. But now we're seeing God separate by fire. Hallelujah. The real church is coming forth. Hallelujah. We went through a pandemic. People quit then. We went through death. We went through sickness. We went through job loss. We went through politician and all type of hatred and stuff. But the real church now is coming forth because fire purges. Now the wheat is left. Fire will reveal what's real and who's playing church. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Fire will reveal your motive. Are you here for the word or trying to hit on a woman?
Come on.
Are you here for the word or trying to hook up with a man?
Come on.
Fire, get your motives pure. We're going to be tried by fire, for judgment has begun in the house of God. That's why you said a lot of national, no ministry stuff is coming out. Because Jesus is getting ready to return. And Jesus got his fan in his hand, and fire is coming back on the church. Fire is coming back on the church. And it destroys the impurities in your life. Go to Malachi. Who will abide in his coming? He's on his way, folks. The bridegroom is coming. Will you be ready? Who shall stand when he appears? For he's like a refined and fire and full of soap. He's washing and cleansing and saying, get rid of this. Get rid of this. He's using the word. Some folks can't take it. Some folks are going to stay in their mess. But he said, I'm bringing the fire. Look at the next verse. And he shall be a refiner and a purifier of silver, and shall purify the sons of Levi. They are priests. We are priests under God now. And purge them as gold and silver. How is he doing it? With fire. Why? Let me offer them. I offer the right. This fire is not to kill you. It's to draw you closer to God. It's to get the hatred, the envy, the unforgiveness, the bondage, the things we secretly struggle with. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Notice he said, it's refined of gold. Gold is put under fire to refine it and melt it. And then all you put zinc in and all the alloys and impurity rods till you scrape it off. So when you're through with this process, God had us in a process. You come forth not as gold there, but 100% gold. And God is looking for folks that's looking for the gold medal, not a silver medal. Thank God for that. Not just some of you ain't going to place in a race. But God says, I want to bring the gold. I see the gold in you. But in order to get to the goal, I got to take you through the fire. I got to take you through the process. I got to take you. It's going to be messages like this that's going to challenge you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to purge you, because you're going to bring forth more fruit if you stand in this teaching and stay with the word and put your flesh under and walk in the spirit and get rid of those things that you know I know about that's hindering your life. You're going to come forth like pure gold. Somebody give God some praise. That's why preachers don't preach like this anymore. It's always about money, because everybody want to hear that. God is interested in your life, not just your money. He's at the goal. Something about gold. Real gold. And he says he's like a full of smoke and refire. Fire reveals. He let man do ship it. Oh, my God, my God. And the word is like a fire. I'm done. Fire will also reveal what is real and what is not real around you. Yeah, go on and pray. Somebody getting this. Somebody been crying for revival. Because something got to happen in the church, man. We're in a sad state. The power of God got to hit the church again. It's got to take fire, revival. On the day of Pentecost, fire hit the people. They went into the streets, began to heal the sick, raise the dead. Fire, fire coming on the church again in the name of Jesus. And it's starting with you. If you feel a little heat, it's because God loves you. He's trying to fan something out of your life. He said, leave that individual alone. Put that down. Throw that cell phone away. You know they're trouble. Get this out of your life. You can break that addiction. Fire, not to hurt you, but to purify you. Everyone shout process. Anything precious goes through a process. A diamond has to pressure put upon it. It's got to go through fire. To get olive oil, you got to press the olive. To get the juice out of grape, it's got to be pressed and then refined. Everyone shout process. God is saying, who's going to keep coming to church under this process? And it's just to bring gold out of your life. Isaiah 43:2. I know I'm over my time again, but you know what? I'm like God. He don't know nothing about time. When you pass what? Through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk what? Through the fire. Everyone shout process. God says, I'll be with you. I ain't going to take you out of the fiery furnace. I'm going to take the heat out of the flame. But when you come forth, you're going to be bolder, better, stronger. Because you're going, someone in the fire right now, don't jump out. God's going to bring you out. He's building your character. Through the fire. Through the fire. I'm not going to die in it through the fire. It's refining me. He says, when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned nor scorched. Because the fire is not there to kill you, it's to burn out the impurities. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Why? From the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior, I gave Egypt, I paid a price to you, Babylon, for your ransom. Ethiopia, Saba, the providence of Ethiopia, to exchange for you, that you are free. I paid the price for you. And I'm trying to take you through a process. It's tough on your job. It's tough in every day. But if you'll keep coming to church, if you'll stay with the Lord, it's not my word like fire. There's a process. I see the goal in your life. See, God saw the minister I could be. But it's taken all of these years to drop stuff and tell my death and change my attitude and how I thought about this and accept people and blah, blah, blah. A lot of people jump out of the fire. But he said through it. God got something in process. Please be patient with me. For God is not through with me yet. When God gets through with me, I'm going to come forth like pure, no impurities. That's why God been working with your back room. We want the spotlight, but God said, no, there's still some attitude. You still got a little pride here. Still got a little here, a little there. And that's why I was talking about last week, those blind spots where the mirror of God's word, stuff that you can't see, because are you looking at them? There are people you see from the side. You might look good in front, but God said, no, there's some stuff. I'm your real guard. I can see behind you. I know what's back there. We got to do a little bit more work. But it's not to hinder you. It's not to hold you back. When you come forth, there's going to be a greater anointing ever in your life, because what's ahead of you is greater than what's behind you. I press toward the mark for the prize of the call of the high calling of God, forgetting those things that are behind me. Oh, I'm preaching now to somebody. Everyone shout fire! Go on and praise. I close with this. See, you got some friends around you. If they ain't been through nothing, low times, times of crisis, they ain't your real friends. Because fire, when the fire comes, they run. As soon as you get in trouble, they run. It not going to reveal what's real in you, it'll reveal what's real around you. Because real friends will stick with you through the fire over the years. When Nebuchadnezzar the king, he was astonished. They threw them boys in there. His mightiest men died. They rose up in haste. And he said to the council, did not we throw three men bound? You want to get free? In the midst of the fire? Then, see, they could have got, we don't want to go through the fire. But there was a process. Then they answered and said, yeah, okay, that's true. He said, well, then I see four men loosed, walking in the midst of the fire that have no hurt, and the fourth one looked like the Son of God. See, when other people forsake you, he'll go with you through the fire. He's refining you. Aren't you glad God stayed with you? Aren't you glad God didn't give up on you? Aren't you glad God see what you can be? You're on your way to a gold medal. Sometimes it takes 8 years, sometimes 6 years, but finally, when you win that gold medal, but we're striving toward it, praise God. We're moving toward it. God sees gold in every person. God can see gold in your life, but you got to go through refining. Stay on your feet. Stay on your feet. See. Keep your fire burning. Paul told Timothy, you rekindle the fire in you. A lot of time we lose it. A lot of time we let it go down. But God says, I got my fan in my hand. That's the Holy Ghost. That's what I said. Somebody been feeling the wind of the Spirit. God's used fire to get your attention. He got some of your attention this morning. I watched people. Some of you was like just gazing. You know that? But that was God. Whatever he said to you now, go do it. Go do it. It's a process of being refined. God sees the best in you. There's a revival of fire that's coming back on the church. Even though we hear all this stuff, on the internet, all this stuff, don't get sidetracked. Stay focused. Keep coming to church. Keep reading your Bible. You're going to hear about scandal here and there. Don't get focused. People are going to argue over politics. You're going to hear about political violence. We're in an election year. All hell about getting ready to break. It's already crazy.